Welcome to this podcast. I'm Dr. Caroline Leaf, and today we are talking about relationships. This is part two of relationships, and today I'm going to focus quite a lot on the male-female brain and the fact that it's really important to understand the differences between us and to understand that you don't have to be in a relation, in a marriage relationship or in a dating relationship to benefit from the information I'm going to share in this podcast, because we all first and foremost individuals, unique individuals, and then secondly, we express this through our maleness and our femaleness. So we're out there in the world with males and females, and whether you like it or not, it's actually a pretty good idea to understand how the opposite sex actually functions. But I really want to stress very heavily that first and foremost, you are you, completely unique, a unique individual with an incredible way of thinking and able to do things that no one else can do. And so just on that topic, I have a great book called The Perfect You, which you can pick up at drleaf.com, which really helps you to understand the uniqueness of you. But then on top of that, let's explore the fact that not only are we unique, but we also express this uniqueness through our maleness and our femaleness, which is really exciting. And I think one of the fun, easy ways to understand this difference is looking at the male-female brain, where there are distinct differences. And right up front, let me explain that these differences don't make one gender more powerful than the other. We are equal. Male and female are equal. We see this on a spiritual level. We know this instinctively. We know this from brain science. We're just different. And different is very, very complementary. I always talk about the three C's of relationships. We are designed to complete each other and not compete with each other. And when you look at that, you actually are, it's much more, it's a very positive statement. It's not trying to take something from someone or be better than someone. It's a desire to understand someone else. So that's the first C. We are designed to complete each other and not compete with each other. The second one is that we are compatible. Males and females are compatible. You can get on with your if you're a female, get on with your male colleague or brothers and sisters, siblings or parents, and a father and a daughter and a mother and a son and husband and wife and friends that are best friends, whatever. We are designed to get on with each other. Humans are, believe it or not, compatible. We're designed to get on with each other. The third C is that we are complementary. So that in complementary means that we contribute to and we improve each other. So we actually better together. There's things that you can do that I can't do that will enhance me. And you know, you see this so clearly in a marriage relationship, but it's also out there in all relationships between the opposite sexes. So the three C's are: we designed to complete and not compete, we designed to be compatible, which means fit together, and we designed to be complementary, which means contribute to and improve each other. Okay, so in the studio with me today is my husband, Mac. Thanks for joining me again today in the studio with the podcast. Mac and I have been married 30 years this year, so this is a very special year for us. And our daughter, our eldest daughter, Jessica, is getting married this year as well. So we're very excited about this. Is a real love year, isn't it? It's a year where lots of exciting things are happening.
Always a pleasure to be with you, sweetheart.
Thank you. And it's always a pleasure being with you. We've been married for 30 years, and I think we are happier now than we've ever been. We've always had a great marriage. We've had so many compliments in our marriage. People have often said to us that, you know, just people often will be with us or just see us at a church or at a function, and we don't even know them, and we'll get an email saying, "You saved our marriage," and we're wondering who these people are. And then they'll make comments like, "Well, we just watched the way you communicated with each other, or the way you were holding hands, or the way you looked at each other." So we don't realize that, you know, as a married couple, people are watching you. People are always watching you, and whether you're married or not, as a human, people are watching how you're handling your life and how you are handling your relationships with others. So it's very important that we get, you know, watch ourselves.
Well, I think it's important. You said some years back that, you know, if you go into a marriage expecting something, you know, you might not get all the things that you're looking for, but if you go into the marriage with the intention of giving up to 100%, you're certainly going to get 100% back. You know, in terms of all kinds of things, whether it be love or conversations that are worthy of, you know, having and things like that. So very important to give in the marriage and to be generous and to be giving, because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to cherish, honor our partners. So, you know,
and that's a choice that we make to do that. And I think what you said there is very important, that we do give back, that we go into a marriage giving 100% and expecting nothing. And if each partner is going into the marriage giving 100% but not expecting, you're going to automatically give that 100% back. You know, so it's really, and that's what you and I have really tried to do. Now, that's some advice that we would give as a couple to any couple. And that's what we, you know, we're telling our daughter who's getting married this year, we're telling her those kind of things. And our kids have grown up with this. Go in expecting 100. So many marriages and relationships, just being in a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, so many of the relationships can be a problem because the person feels incomplete in themselves and then they want the other person to complete them. And even though completing each other is one of the three C's, how are you expecting them to complete you? I mean, in the three C's, I mean completion in terms of a very complementary way, that we are not trying to fix each other or fill the holes in our own heart with the other person or get them to meet our need. It's more of, in the generosity of giving, there's a completeness that arises as opposed to getting from that person. So it's a completeness that is from a giving as opposed to a getting.
Well, it's the old mathematical formula, 1 + 1 = 3.
Exactly.
You know, if you're divided, then, you know, the Bible says the house will fall. So, you know, you need to be working towards uniting on things. And obviously there's differences, you know, I'm a little older than you and, you know, so grew up in a different generation. So there are differences.
I always tease you that for 1 month of the year, you're 10 years older. And then for the rest of the time, you're 9 years older. Yes. With your birthday being, with our birthdays. But yeah, that's true. I mean, there are things that you and I disagree on. And we choose to, if we don't totally agree on something, we just accept that we agree to disagree. And we don't let that become a huge stumbling block in our relationship. And we keep on trying to always give 100%. And when we fall, generally, if it is a problem that we have between each other, we're very quick to fix it. We try not to let it go beyond the 24 hours, which we were speaking a little bit about this in the last podcast.
Sure.
But it's also bad for our brain. You know from all the brain science that I've been teaching over the years, that when we don't, gives us 100%, when we don't operate in this very giving, loving mode, which is very natural for the human because our brain and body are wired for love, when we don't do that, we're actually causing brain damage.
For sure, we get toxic and then, you know, open to all kinds of illnesses and
exactly.
Mental illnesses and physical illnesses and so on. It's just not worth it.
And then blaming the partner when it's not the partner, when we maybe need to look at ourselves. So that's a good point to remember if you want to start taking some points away from this podcast, is that when you are toxic, when you are not giving 100%, when you are not completely and utterly trying your best to, in a generous way, to complete the other person, not try and get from them what the holes are in your own mind and your own life. When you do the positive side, when you look at that from the correct aspect, you're bringing brain health into your brain. Whereas if you're very toxic and just trying to get the person to complete the holes in your life, and you're demanding, and you're not thinking, well, they've got to give me 50 and I'll give them 50, or they've got to give me 60, whatever silly thing we have in our minds, you're actually causing brain damage. So, you know, even though, like, when people are communicating, I think a very, very good, you know, there's a couple of fun things to talk about. A lot of people talk about the fact that women speak more than men. And there's a myth that's been going around for many years. And I've done the research and I can guarantee that that is a myth, that women speak around about 25,000 words a day and men speak around about 10 to 15. So women talk more. And, you know, there's always been this thing about women talking more.
Well, it's created stereotypes.
It's created stereotypes.
And stereotypes aren't necessarily true.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so one has to be careful because we live those stereotypes, you know.
We live into them.
Yeah, and we'll say she always talks too much or this, that, and the other. And I think it's wrong. It just, you have the wrong foundation.
And that's, people can use it in a derogatory sense, like, oh, don't listen to the woman, they just talk too much. And it becomes almost negative. Mm. Whereas the research has shown that women and men both talk about 16,000 words a day.
Mm.
I mean, these are obviously estimates and these are general estimates. But the interesting fact is, whatever the number is, it's about the same amount every day. And men and women talk differently. Women tend to talk in a more broad way, using lots of adjectives, unfinished sentences. And men talk like a thank tennis, back and forth, score a point, you know, functional. So it's a different way of talking. And I think if we understand that, you know, and that's what my book called switch on your brain. I can't see the title of my own book. Who Switched Off Your Brain? The Mystery of He Said, She Said. I have a lot of those points in there where I talk about the brain, the differences that they found in the male-female brain, and then how this plays out in conversations and emotions and stress and just life in general.
Well, you had a lot of good information in that book. Whenever we sell it at conferences, I tell, if the husband and wife are buying the book together, I tell them to read each other a chapter, every evening. And so it promotes conversation,
And you've had so many
discussion.
That's true. You've had so many compliments coming back from that particular advice that you give people. People will send us emails saying, we did it. We read that book to each other. We went through that book.
Yes.
So it's got a lot of tips, that brain tips as well. And one of the reasons why women and men talk differently is due to brain structural differences, that women actually have more white matter in the brain and men have more gray matter. And it's not that men are better than women or women are better than men. We just got to really cancel that out of our vocabulary once and for all. We are equal. It's different. So both men and women have gray and white matter in the brain, and we just have different sort of proportions of it, and that influences so much how we think things through, how we have conversations. So the fact that a woman uses more adjectives and more open-ended sentences, this is coming from a brain structural difference to how a man's brain is structured, both equally as good, equally as intelligent. And what this looks like is that in a woman's conversation, she'll tend to spread her words during the course of the day. This is what the research shows. Whereas a man tends to condense his words. I often use the analogy of a kettle that's steaming, and the steam comes out and the steam moves all over the kitchen, and it lasts for quite long. And then think of an ice cube. Well, women talk like a steam kettle where there's a lot coming out and it stretches for longer, so that little bit of water can spread over a greater distance. So women tend to stretch out their words over a longer period of time, and that's why women are can keep going right till into the late evening, whereas men speak more like ice cubes. It's condensed, it's dense, it's packed, and a lot more. The research shows that men tend to talk a lot more in a work environment during the course of the day than they do in the evenings. It's these little things that can help so much, because I remember at the beginning of our marriage, even knowing these things, and I didn't, obviously as the years have gone by, I've learned more about the brain and so on in my research, but even knowing these things, I would get quite put out when you weren't as talkative at the end of the day as what I was. And I wanted to talk through the day and tell you my feelings and tell you what happened, and I'm pouring out all this detail, and all you wanted was a little bit of time to switch off and just go into, flick the channels and
switch off,
and just tell the listeners what would happen in those situations. I'd look at you, I'd say, I'd be talking away.
What's wrong? Yeah.
I'd say to you, what's wrong?
And I'd get irritated because nothing is wrong. I was just recouping from the day,
and we'd have
gathering
an
my thoughts. Yeah,
we would literally have an argument in the beginning
processing
of our marriage.
Processing them, relaxing. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was kind of switching off into that cave zone, and I was trying, and I dived in with all this excitement and all these ideas and emotions and detail. Meanwhile, what we've learned over the years and what research shows is that men need that time towards the end of the day just to go into their cave and process, and women need to talk. So how are you going to make that work in a relationship? Well, you let the men do their thing, and you phone your girlfriend, you phone your kids, you talk to the dog, whoever, listen, talk, just get it out of you. So by the time you have, the guy has calmed down and you have kind of got your thoughts in order, then you can really talk through those things. So it's just a matter of giving, respecting each other's space, not getting mad because she wants to talk, not getting mad because he doesn't want to talk, but finding the time when both of you can talk, which is generally a little bit later on in the evening. These are the kind of tips that I've got in the book that align with the brain, how the brain functions. And the book's called Who Switched Off Your Brain? The Mystery of He Said, She Said. And we can really conquer that. I mean, there's just so many points to cover. I think one of the things, maybe another thing to cover, is things like intellectualizing how we process information differently as a male and female. That's quite interesting as well, with the whole woman having a bigger front part of their brain and men having a bigger back part of their brain. We've all got the whole brain, but it's equal, and it influences how we intellectualize. So men tend to intellectualize from the big picture to the detail, And women tend to intellectualize and process from the detail to the big picture. And that can really make a difference in how it comes out. And it's like, it's both are brilliant, both are different perspectives, two sides of a coin. And sure. They can just come to the, you know, that you get to this, you get to a complementary state at the end of the intellectualizing. But what from research, from experience, from our own experience, because it's different, there's a tendency for us to get selfish and think, well, he's not thinking like me, he's wrong. She's not thinking like me, she's wrong. Meanwhile, if we just breathed and listened and breathed and listened, we would actually find that what he's got to say and what she's got to say are actually very powerful two sides of the coin. So, you know, the man doesn't have all the answers and the woman doesn't have all the answers. We together can get the answers. So, and it's also interesting that anything more that you want to say about that, Mac?
Well, I was thinking of intellectualizing. I mean, I remember when I was in school, I mean, I always tried to be number one in academics. It was like, four girls were always beating me. So I think, at one stage you said that girls do better in verbal skills and up to a certain age, and men do better in other skills at a certain age. But you don't want to make that a sort of
distinction between, and it's been,
especially in today's world, you know, where you think scientists should be men and mathematicians should be men. You know, I think a lot more women should be encouraged to enter those fields, because the intellectualizing of both groups is certainly going to help develop things
equally,
for the future.
Exactly. Yeah. So what you're saying,
not just man has the monopoly on the thinking.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's such an excellent point that you brought up in the current day, where women have got a voice to actually really finally in history, for the first time, women are really having an impactful voice. And it's so vitally important that we recognize that. And that's why I like to teach on this message, because it is what you said, is that there's the old way of thinking, the old stereotypes that men go into science and women become the homemaker. You know, it's just not... All of us are scientists, all of us are homemakers, but we do it differently. And I think that's the difference now, is that we are understanding that you can have two women scientists, I mean, a male and a woman scientist, and they're both going to give something different to the party. Sure. So we shouldn't be so defined, like the old things that women are emotional and men are unemotional. This is wrong. Sure. Women and men are emotional, but we're different in our emotions. Men and women have empathy, but we're different in our empathy. Men and women are capable of any intellectual pursuit that they desire, that is the passion of who they are as a unique human being, first and foremost. So we shouldn't define people by whether they're male or female. We should define people by, let people define themselves by their inner nature. And that's why it's so important that we understand that the differences that we see in males and females are complementary, they are compatible, that we can work through them. So all these things, like even the way a man and a woman deal with stress and emotions, these things are different. Even driving a car, I mean, I am terrible with directions. And you're brilliant with directions. And very often this is seen as a male thing. Men are good at directions and women aren't. But we have friends, and the male, the husband, is terrible. Worse than me with directions. And the woman is as good as what you are with directions. And the point being made here is that, however, when a woman is thinking of directions in her mind, she uses a lot more land, landscapes and images and color and landmarks. Yeah. Whereas a man use more of the geometric, the Euclidean geometry. And seeing that, so it's different. So whether you're good at it or not, it's a lot to do with the way you think uniquely. But we can't keep classifying and separating males and females with these things. So that's why sciences are just a great way of understanding our complementary differences. Well, thank you for listening today. We're definitely going to have another podcast, because I had like another 30 points to bring up in the science, and I know that these are things that are very interesting for people. So we'll certainly be doing more podcasts on the male-female brain, which I think is super exciting and helping us in our society today, to help our daughters and our sons and our work colleagues and our husbands and our wives, all of us, to work together, because we are designed to work together. We're designed to operate in love. Thank you for joining us, and I look forward to the next time.